Unit 3. Sources. Literary. Page 26. Unit 3. Sources. Literary. 3.0. Objectives. 3.1. Introduction. 3.2. Indigenous literary sources. 3.3. Foreign literature sources. 3.4. Oral tradition and legends. 3.5. Let us sum up. 3.6. Questions for self-study. 3.7. Books for further study. Page 27. 3.0. Objectives. This unit is intended to provide you knowledge about the nature of literary works available for reconstructing the history of South India and highlight the limitation of literary sources in providing historical information about the past. After acquainting yourself with this unit, you will be able to comprehend the following points. They found in various languages of South India, including Sanskrit, one should possess knowledge of more than one language. Some are religious in nature and some are secular or worldly. The sources are classified into two groups, that is, indigenous and foreign accounts. The indigenous literatures do not bear accurate historical information. They mix up facts with myths. As a matter of fact, ancient Indian lacked historical sense. As a result, we do not find events with date and time. Foreigners who visited South India during ancient time provided some useful information about religious and economic condition of the peninsular India. 3.1. Introduction. History begins with sources and ends with sources. There is no history without source. This unit will provide useful knowledge of about nature and importance of literary sources for the writing of ancient South Indian history. The literary sources are found both in indigenous and foreign languages. The indigenous sources are colored with fancy and exaggerated accounts. They mix up historical facts with myths and legends. Therefore, one must be careful in obtaining the information. They devoid of historical accounts with dates and time. The great epics, Puranas, Sanskrit, Kannada, Tamil, Telugu literature, however, provide some clues for historical events. Page 28. Similarly, the foreign accounts left by Greco-Roman writers, Arab and Chinese travelers provide useful information about trade, economic conditions and religious conditions about their times. Recently, oral tradition and legends are found providing useful information to reconstruct the social history of the past. 3.2. Indigenous literary sources. Next to inscriptions, literary works dealing either with historical or containing allusions to specific historical events deserve consideration as useful sources. However, in utilizing this material, cautious approach and careful scrutiny has to be made, because unlike the inscriptions, the historical fragments embedded in such literary works are many a time colored with poetic fantasy and exaggeration. The literary sources can be classified into two major groups, that is, indigenous and foreign literary sources. The indigenous literature is further classified into sacred literature and secular literature. The epics like Ramayana and Mahabharata, the Vedas, the Puranas, and the Buddhist Jatakas and Jains forms the sacred literature. However, the literary sources are not of much value to construct the history of remote past. The earliest reference to Dakshinapat occurs in Rig Veda. Some of the Brahmanas and the Aranyakas literature refer to the various places in the Deccan. The Ramayana and Mahabharata contain reference to some of the places like Kishkindha and Banavasi. The Ramayana gives us good many details of the culture of the people of South and the useful in determining the geography of South India and also South Indian contact with Ceylon and other islands. There are also popular legends relating to the arrival of Agastya to Karnataka and Tamil Nadu. A few Jain traditions of a later period throw light on the Maurya's rule over some part of northern Karnataka. The Puranas throw a flood of light on the history of Satavahanas and Rashtrakutas. Among the Puranas, the Matsya Purana, the Vayu Purana, and Vishnu Purana are of great help. Secular literature includes the historical, semi-historical, and literary works produced at different internals by the court poets. Age 29. The Sangam literature help us to reconstruct the early history of Tamil kingdoms. Works like Silapadikaram and Manimakkalai reflect the social, political, and cultural life of the people in the far south under the early Cholas and the Pandyas. They also help us to know about the cultural context of South India with Ceylon and other islands. The earliest Tamil grammar, Tolkappiyam of Tolkappiyar, reflects the social and cultural life in the Tamil country. The Prabandha literature in Tamil also forms an important source material for the history of Tamil Nadu. Among the literary works that are available in Kannada, the Kaviraj Marga is considered as the earliest. Its author was Rashtrakuta King Amoghavarsha. This work defines the extent of Karnataka as stretching from the Godavari in the north to the Kaveri in the south. It also contains the name of the early Kannada poets and scholars. Its author speaks in high tone the literary and cultural accomplishments of Kannada people. The celebrated poet of the 10th century Pampa wrote the famous work Bharata. This poet adorned the court of Chalukya Arikesari of Vimaladevada, who was the feudatory of the Rashtrakuta king Krishnatri. In this work, the author describes the achievement of his patron as well as that of the other rulers of the Chalukya dynasties. The Chavundarya Purana, 978 AD, an early prose composition in Kannada by Chavundarya, who was the minister in the service of the Ganga king Rachamalla IV and Rakshasa Ganga. It furnishes historical details about the last rulers of this family. This work also throws light on the condition of Jainism. Another famous poet, Rana, lived in the court of Chalukya king Tailappa. He wrote Ajitanatha Purana and Gadayuda, also known as Sahas Bhima Vidya. The author gives genealogical list of the early rulers of Chalukyas of Kalyana besides describing the achievements of his patron. The Mona Sulasa, a Sanskrit work, has been ascribed to Chalukya Someshwara III and Vigameshwara, who composed Mitakshara, belong to this period. The Sanskrit works throw light on the duties and the responsibilities of the king as well as on the administration. Page 30. The Vikramanka Devacharita is a rare historical kavya dealing with the life and achievements of the Chalukya king Vikramaditya VI. It is written by his court poet Bilhana, who hailed from Kashmir. Though this work contains exaggerated account, yet it gives us many facts of history can be gleaned from this work. Himadri, another scholar of great repute who lived in the court of Seuna king Mahadeva, composed a treatise on Dharmasastra called Chaturvarga Chintamani. This work gives the genealogical list of the Seuna kings down to the time of Mahadeva. This work also suffers from certain defects, but its importance is in fact that it is supplementing the information gathered from epigraphical records. The Leela Charita of the Marathi work throws light on closing events of the history. We find good number of literary works produced during the Hoysala period in Sanskrit and Kannada, which provide valuable information of the region. Rajaditya, the contemporary of Veerabhalla II, references to the battle of Soratur fought between Ballala II and Siunas Jana. The court poet of Ballala II wrote Yashodhara Charita and Ananthanatha Puran. In this introductory verses of Yashodhara Charita, he refers to the origin of Hoysalas and the greatness of his patron. Another poet, Vidya Chakravarti II, composed Gadya Karamitra in Sanskrit. In this work, reference has been made to the marriage of Someswara. It also throws some light on the political and social conditions that prevailed in Karnataka. The later compositions like Kumara Ramakate, the Hoysala Raja Vijayam, the Kongu Desarajakal, the Stalpuranas of Halebid, Belur, and Kanambari contain historical information. For the history of Tamil Nadu, after the Sangam age, we have Sanskrit and Tamil literary works which throw light on the history of Far South. The following literary works can be cited for history of the Pallavas of Kanchi. Bhadavi, the author of Kirtarjuna Vijaya, flourished in the court of Sima Vishnu. Mahendra Varma one wrote Matavilasa Paranga, a social comedy. Dandan, the author of Daska Kumara Charita and Kavya Darsa, was the court poet during the reign of Narasimha Varma II. The Tamil Kurul of Trivulas is a classic in Tamil. Page 31. The Tamil literature made a lot of progress during the rule of Cholas. The early works of the period was composed by the Jains. Among the early works, mention may be made of Jivaka Chintamani of Tirukadaeva. This work was composed into 10th century AD and is said to have influenced Kambam, whose famous work Ramayana in Tamil was composed in 12th century. Tolamoli, another Jain writer, wrote Sulamani, which handles a Jain Puranic then. Periya Puranam of Sekliar was outstanding work dealing with the Saiva theology. Among the other works mentioned may be made of Tiruvila Tadyal Puranas of Nandi, Tirumurai Kanda Puranas of Adarnambi throw light on the religious life of people. Jain Gondar, who wrote Kalingata Purani, describes military exploits of Kolotunga in his second Kalinga War. This was the earliest and best of war forms of the classic Purani. Kuttunor Orakuttan, who was the poet laureate of Vikrama Chola, Kulotunga II, and Rajendra, composed Ula and each of them. According to many Tamil scholars, the greater work of the period was the Ramayana in Tamil, written by Kambam. This work reflects the color of his time and place. 3.3 Foreign Literary Sources. In addition to the above indigenous literary sources, we can also obtain historical information from the writings of foreigners who visited the country as a traveler, pilgrim, trader, and envoy, and recorded their experience. India has maintained contact with outside world from times immemorial. The historical accounts contained in the indigenous sources become more authentic when corroborated by the foreign testimony. The earliest foreign testimony of South Indian history can be found in Periplus of the Etrurian Sea of an unknown author and the Geography of Ptolemy. The Greek author of the Periplus of Etrurian Sea made a voyage to the South Indian coast about AD 80, and he has left to us a record of its ports, harbors, and merchandise. This book gives us an idea of the maritime activities of South India. The Greek geographer Ptolemy of 2nd century AD refers to some of the most important places like Banavasi, Badami, Padakal, Punata, and Kaveri Patnam, which are flourishing trade centers. Pliny gives an account of the Indian animals, plants, and minerals in the 1st century AD. Page 32. The two Ceylonese chronicles, the Mahavamsa and Deepavamsa in Pali language, are very important works of great historical value. They contain several details of South Indian history and also that of Buddhist influence in Sri Lanka. Many synchronism relate several historical events of the Tamil kingdoms. The Arab writers Tabari refers to the cordial ties that existed between Pulakesi and Persia. Hyun Isang, the Buddhist pilgrim from China, traveled in many parts of India, including South India. He has been regarded as the prince of the pilgrims. His sojourn in India lasted for about 15 years. He visited India in the 7th century AD and during the course of his sojourn, he came to the court of the Chalukya king Pulikesi II in about 634 AD. In his account, he refers to the valor of the Chalukya emperor and his military strength. He also refers to the defeat of Harshavardhana at the hands of Pulikesi II. Above all else, his account on the fortunates of Buddhists in South India is very important. The Arab traveler Al-Masudi visited the Rashtrakuta court in the early part of the 10th century AD and has given some information about the Rashtrakuta capital, Manyakheta. Among the various Arab travelers who visited the Deccan, the most noteworthy was Suleiman, who came to the Rashtrakuta court in 815 AD. He has bestowed eloquent testimony on the reign of Rashtrakuta emperor Amoghvarsha Nripatunga by comparing him with the other great monarchs of the world. His work is also helpful to infer that the Arabs enjoyed many privileges in the Rashtrakuta empire. The African travelers Ibn Battuta, who visited India during the time of Sultan Muhammad, has recorded in his Rehla the expeditions of the Turkish sultans of Delhi against the Deccan and the far south. His accounts is very helpful to construct the history of South India towards the close of Veerabala III reign and the fall of the many South Indian dynasties, including the Hoysalas. Page 33. Thus, the indigenous and foreign accounts supply us valuable information to construct the history of South India. But these sources suffer from certain glaring defects. Sometimes they are highly exaggerative and extremely subjective. The information which they provide regarding the history of South India is very meager and scanty. Therefore, the task of historian of this period is not an easy one. Thus, he has to depend on variety of sources found in many languages. 3.4. Oral traditions and legends. In addition to the above conventional source materials, we have oral traditions and legends, which are also useful in understanding the social history of our country. These sources are not yet properly utilized by our scholars in reconstructing the social history of the past. Oral traditions has been defined as a testimony transmitted orally from one generation to another. In oral tradition, the author will not be known. Oral tradition would have many authors, or even a society or community could be its authors. It is true they are no longer contemporary, but they carry the memories of the past event. They are passed on from mouth to mouth for a period beyond the lifetime of the informants. Chronology and the lack of independence are real problems of oral tradition. Oral traditions include tribal lore, present folk songs, legends, and primitive survival in the superstructure of our society. It is true that they lack historical accuracy, but they contain much in plenty in the form of survivals in the social organizations, customs, and beliefs which the literary and epigraphical sources do not possess, since they emanate from the elite functionaries. The conventional sources are not of much help for the history from below or subaltern studies. For such study, oral traditions and legends of peasants and tribal societies and even of communities would go a long way in reconstructing the social history of our country. Socio-anthropological tools and data obtained from the field work would definitely help in rebuilding our ancient past in more comprehensive manner. Page 34. 3.5. Let us sum up. We have made an account in this unit to understand the nature and the importance of the literary sources in writing and reconstructing the history of South India. We have noted the remarks made by Al-Biruni about lack of historical reigns among the ancient Indians, and as a result of which the absence of historical literature in ancient India, including South India. The literary sources have been classified into indigenous and foreign accounts. Indigenous literature is further divided into religious and secular literature. We have pointed the limitation and shortcomings of these indigenous literatures, which have mixed facts with myths. Historians have taken extraordinary precaution in obtaining information from these indigenous literary sources. We have also been that these literary works are found in different languages of South India, including Sanskrit. Right from the Sangam age till the rise of Vijayanagara, we have plenty of literary sources which provide information regarding political, social, cultural aspects of South Indian history. In addition to the above indigenous literary sources, we have noted valuable help rendered by foreign visitors to India during ancient time. The Greeks, Romans, Chinese and Arab travelers are most important visitors who visited India as a traveler, pilgrim, trader, and envoy and recorded their experience in their accounts on India. Their impression and experiences when corroborated both indigenous literary sources, they found to be much helpful in rewriting the history of ancient India. Finally, we have also seen the attempts made by these scholars to make use of new source materials, namely oral tradition and legends, which so far not properly been utilized by conventional historians. They are found to be more useful in rewriting the social history of the past. History of a community, institutions, beliefs, traditions, history of people from below can be studied by applying socio-anthropological tools and data from the fieldworks. In this way, we have to tap information pertaining to the past from variety of source material available in different forms and from different places. This is a formidable task for a historian who intend to reconstruct the history of ancient and early medieval period of Indian history. Page 35, 3.6, Questions for Self-Study. 1. Examine the value of literary sources for the history of South India and point out their limitations. 2. Critically explain the value of indigenous literature for the reconstruction of South Indian history. Short notes. 1. Historical sense of ancient Indians. 2. Religious literature. 3. Secular literature. 4. Foreign accounts. 5. Oral traditions and legends. 3.7. Books for further study. 1. K. Nilakanta Sastri, Sources of Indian History. 2. R.C. Majumdar, The Vedic Age. 3. P.B. Desai, History of Karnataka. 4. Romila Thapar, Recent Perspectives of Early Indian History. 5. M.N. Venkata Ramappa, Outlines of South Indian History. 6. Romila Thapar, Interpreting Early India.